Good morning. I'm Pastor Michael Brekke coming to you from Trinity Lutheran Church, 1245 New Hampshire, Lawrence, Kansas. At this hour on Sunday mornings, you would normally hear a broadcast of the special worship service recorded by Trinity's recording team. Unfortunately, we experienced a rare technical difficulty Thursday evening. The service for the 12th Sunday after Pentecost took place but was not recorded. Fortunately, choir director Megan McCoy and organist Stuart Taylor have begun leading and recording Vesper services at Trinity. The text from the Vesper service, along with an MP3 recording, is posted at Trinity's website, www.tlclawrence.org, and available to everyone. This morning, in place of the regular worship service, you will hear some words from me as well as a recording. There will be no communion liturgy or congregational hymns, but we will resume our normal practice next Sunday at this time. So while it is Sunday morning, not evening, and the day is just beginning for many of us, the spirit is the same. Please join us in this service of music and the spoken word from Trinity Lutheran Church. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." And Jesus said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then Jesus sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus, amen. My mother, in her 94 years, lived in the same town. And as she got older and older, she was extraordinarily frustrated with identity issues. She would walk down the street in her hometown, and people would say hello to her by name, and the refrain was always the same, "Hey, Polly, how are you?" And her frustration was that she had lived through a couple of generations of folks so that she might have known the grandparents. She might have known the sons and daughters. She might have known the grandsons or granddaughters of the people that she once knew. So the result is that she was constantly saying to these folks who were saying hello to her, "Who are you?" Identity is a hot topic. We are all frightened by identity theft. We protect our identity with all kinds of devices and all kinds of codes and all kinds of systems. Our gospel lesson today is all about identity. Jesus starts the conversation by asking his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And the crowds have one answer, but Jesus is not interested in that. Jesus might be intrigued by some of the answers, John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets, but what Jesus is after is a personal answer from the disciples. Jesus says, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter hits a home run. He answers with the big action-packed theological answer, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." This is the power of Jesus Christ being the gift of God to us. Jesus is the gift from God that comes to us to change our identity. It means that we are children of God, and being children of God means that we have received a gift from God, and that in receiving the gift, we become the gift to and for others. David Loos, one of the preaching profs in the ELCA, wrote these words about our text. I think Jesus also came to show us what's possible. And so rather than give in to the threat of disease, Jesus healed. Rather than surrender people to demons, Jesus showed compassion. Rather than let people starve because there's not enough food to go around, Jesus fed the people who were hungry. Jesus refused to be satisfied or limited by the status quo and invites us to do the same because it's Jesus' life and death that shows us how much God loves us. It's Jesus' resurrection that shows us that love is more powerful than hate and fear and even death. Jesus shows us, in short, that God's love wins. One of my seminary profs, Robert Johnson, a mentor and a friend, one day when I was in seminary attending one of his classes, afterwards he kind of gave me one of those wiggle fingers saying, "Come over here." And so I walked up to him, and he gave me that perplexing stare that always made me sort of a little nervous, and he asked me, "Why are you here?" He followed that question by asking, "Who do you think Jesus is in your life?" I was a bit dumbfounded, so I blurted out some sort of answer that I thought was theologically wise, being a little bit of a smart aleck, and I wanted to make intellectual, smooth, and sophisticated comments in response to his question. He shook his head and said, "That's not good enough." And then he turned and he walked away. Every so often, for the next 3 years, Professor Johnson would walk up to me and ask some form of the same question. He was asking me, "Who do you say Jesus is in your life?" And over those 3 years, we had some very penetrating and difficult discussions. He pushed me harder than I had ever been pushed before about my faith. In the end, I had a pretty good idea who Jesus wasn't in my life. There's an old saying in self-help groups that comes as close to any to a short statement of who Jesus is for me. The saying is this: you have to walk the talk as well as talk the talk. I think that's what Paul is trying to say when he talks about gifts. I think that's what Jesus is trying to get Peter to understand. We need to live who Jesus is for others. We need to be Jesus in the world. Marty, Lutheran sage and historian, once observed that Americans are believers, not joiners. So we have all of these beliefs. So what is the greatest challenge? Believing what the church believes about Jesus or believing what Jesus believes about us? Jesus says we are the light of the world. That's what Jesus is and what Jesus believes about all of us. So who do you say Jesus is in your life? Amen.
Sundays of every month with choral vespers this month on the fourth Sunday. Our camp scola this night is Bill Stelzner, Michael Mills, Samuel Booth. Music director is Megan McCoy, and the organist is Stuart Taylor.
O God, thanks be to save us. Thank you. Thank you.
writes concerning the righteousness that comes from the law. But the person who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that comes from faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is, to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss? That is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, on your lips and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim, because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart and so is justified, and one confesses with the mouth and so is saved. The scripture says, no one who believes in him will be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all and is generous to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How are they to call on one in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in one of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone to proclaim him? And how are they to proclaim him unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Forever. Amen.